John chapter 11, when you get there, if you would, let's stand in honor of God's word. Very familiar scripture. We've all heard the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. Just kind of got a, I was telling David this morning, just kind of got a new angle this morning on the same story, amen? And so you kind of go with me, let your minds kind of go with me this morning. And think about how good God's been to you. Think about where God's brought you from. Amen. Because they were singing those songs, and I was thinking about Sunday school. You know, ain't none of us in here. Nobody in here was born saved. Some of y'all, it ain't been that long ago that you was out in the world. But praise God on a Sunday morning. We in God's house this morning. Amen. So John chapter 11, I'm going to start reading in verse 34. Lazarus has died. They have sent for Jesus. Jesus tarries and waits, and we find out from studying the Bible that Jesus did it on purpose. He waited on purpose, and Jesus finally gets there. They've buried Lazarus. He's been dead now 4 days, and Jesus gets there. And in verse 34, he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said unto him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, "Behold how he loved him." And some of them said, "Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died?" Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Jesus saith unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, "Loose him and let him go." God, we love you. We come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for the reading of your word, Lord. Thank you for the songs. Thank you, Lord, for the spirit that we can already feel, Lord. And I pray right now, Lord, you would move in this building. Speak to hearts as only you can. Holy Ghost, do what only you can. Get us out of the way. Help us to lift up Jesus this morning. And whatever's done, we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach just a little while, and I would title this title, "Every Time I Walk Past That Tomb." Every time I walk past that tomb. And I got to thinking about this, you know. I do this, Brother Robert, and I know you do. How many times have you ever been riding down the road, or you go somewhere and you remember something that happened at that spot? There have been times that I go down the road, Brother Melvin. There's a road off of U.S. 501 right there in Conway that every time when I go down it a good bit when I go home, because that's the way from my parents' house to where Juwan's parents used to live and where her sister lives now. But every time I go down that road, I think about the last chase I ever got in on the highway patrol. Because that's the road the car turned on, Mike. They went down that road just a few miles, got in a wreck. That's where the chase ended. Every time I go through that curve, Melvin, I think about that. And there's other places, Jackie, and you do it too. Every time you go to this spot, you think about, "I remember doing that right there. I remember, I told this to somebody the other day. I remember the first date me and my wife ever went on. There's a place in Myrtle Beach called Hurl Rock Park. If you've never been there, it's on the boulevard. Every time I go by that spot, I think about that first date that I went on with my wife, because we went to Hurl Rock Park that night. So we all got things that we can, when we go past, some of it good, some of it might not be so good. But we've all got places that we go, and when we pass these places, we think about things that we did in the past. So I wonder what Lazarus must thought about every time he walked past that tomb where Jesus raised him from the dead. Think about that. Let me ask you a question. How many remember where you were when you got saved? I can take you back to the spot, Kevin. I can almost take you back to the very spot at the old church at White Savannah, Free Will Baptist Church, where I knelt on an altar and I got saved. I can almost take you back to the same spot. There's not even a house there now where I rededicated my life to the Lord. I could probably get you within 10 or 12 foot where I was sitting when I rededicated my life to the Lord. See, if you can remember that, and also you can remember where God brought you from, amen. So let's just get our minds kind of go with me this morning, okay? Because when I bring these points out, I want you to think about where you was at. Number one, I want you to think about, maybe Lazarus said, I remembered what it felt like to be dead. I remember what it felt like to be dead. Like I said, we ain't always been saved, amen, brother. We ain't always been a Christian. See, the Bible talks about in verse 39 how that Lazarus was dead. They said he'd been dead 4 days. Now he stinks in the tomb. See, the thing about it is, you got to understand something. Dead people can't help themselves. Dead people can't move. Dead people can't do anything. They got to have somebody else to do something for them. And the Bible tells us, listen, let me throw some scripture at you real quick. The Bible tells us, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13, and you being dead in your sin and in uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, hath forgiven you all your trespasses. You were dead in your sin. You were not sick in your sin. You were dead in your sin. And had it not been for Jesus passing by and calling out your name, you'd still be dead in your sin. You'd still be in that tomb where God called you out of, amen. So don't forget where God brought you from. How many remember, if you can take me back to the place you got saved, most of us can remember the church you got saved in. You ought not be able to ride by that church. You ought not be able to go by that spot. You ought not be able to go by that place that you don't think about, hey, I was dead. That's where I was dead, and that's where Jesus raised me up, amen. You were dead. Maybe Lazarus was thinking about, hey, I remember what it was like to be dead. How many remember not too long ago on a Sunday morning you wouldn't have been in church? You wouldn't have been sitting in church. You wouldn't be in here with your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You was on your way to devil's hell. But God. But God. Maybe Lazarus remember what it was like to be dead. Maybe Lazarus remembers this. I remember who called my name. The Bible said, look at what the Bible says in verse 43. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, we've all heard this talk about how, and we've all heard the old preacher say, if he'd have just come up to that graveyard, Brother Robert, and said, come forth, every dead person in there would have got up. Amen? Because he's God. But the Bible says he called Lazarus by name. This was a personal invitation. You got to understand something. He called him by name in his darkest hour. It ain't going to get no worse than this. He was dead. He was gone. It don't get no worse. Brother Kevin, you can't go no lower than that. Amen? So in his darkest hour, Jesus remembered his name. Hey, when everybody else had forgotten him, Jesus remembered his name. When everybody else had walked out, Jesus remembered his name. When they had taken all the flowers and the family had gone back, Melvin, Jesus remembered his name. I don't care how low you are this morning. I don't care where you're at this morning. I don't care how dark you feel it is this morning. I'm telling you right now, he knows your name, amen, and he can call you out of whatever you're in this morning. It was a personal. I've used this illustration before. I'm glad that God loved the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. I'm glad that Jesus loved the church, amen. Ephesians 5:25 said that we are to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I'm glad he loved the world. I'm glad he loved the church. But Lord, I'm glad he loved me. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Listen, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Somebody ought to say amen right there. That's a personal invitation. Kevin, he called your name. Robert, he called your name. Melvin, he called your name. Tony, he called your name. Understand, you put your name right there. It don't matter what you're going through right now. He knows your name. And he'll call you out. How many remember the day he called your name? Amen. Jackie, come forth. Grant, come forth. How many remember when he called your name? Amen. So maybe Lazarus remembered he called my name. Maybe Lazarus remembered about the stone being rolled away. I got to think about, I was studying on this thing. Maybe Lazarus remembers that stone being rolled away. See, Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. Okay, the stone gets rolled away. Maybe that first little glimpse of daylight. Maybe that first smell of fresh air coming in that old dark and dingy tomb. But you got to understand something. Lazarus didn't move the stone. Somebody else did. Let me ask you a question. How many remember who prayed for you? How many remember how you got in church? How many remember who refused to give up on you? How many remember the one that preached to you when you got saved? How many remember who was it that rolled your stone away? Amen. Who was it that moved some things out of the way so that you could be saved? Who was it that moved some things out of the way so that you could see clearly? Who was it that moved some things out of the way so that you could get a breath of fresh air? Amen. Somebody ought to let your mind go back. I can remember going back to when I got saved. Preacher Billy Baker was preaching. I won't never forget the man that was preaching when I got saved. I can tell you who was talking to me. The day I rededicated myself to the Lord when I got out of God's will. They were the ones, Melvin, that moved the stone out of the way. You know who it was in your life. It was Stuart Snow. Stuart Snow helped move the stone out of the way. Tony, you and Nancy got back in church because your daughter got in church. You know who it was that moved the stone out of the way. Jackie, who was it for you that moved the stone out of the way so that you could be saved? Robert, who was it for you that moved the stone out of the way so that you could be saved? Maybe Lazarus saying, I remember those guys that moved that stone out of my way. I remember who it was, Ben, that helped me when I couldn't help myself. I remember who it was that was there for me when nobody else was there for me. So maybe Lazarus is thinking, I remember who moved that stone out of my way. Maybe Lazarus thought about, I remember those grave clothes. The Bible says in verse 44, knows what the Bible says in verse 44. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, loose him and let him go. Now, just like he couldn't move that stone by himself, Brother Tony, he didn't unloose himself. Let me tell you something. Salvation is instant. You come down to an altar. You ask God to forgive you. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You don't have to worry. I'm telling you right now, salvation is instantaneous, but sanctification is a process. In other words, getting closer to God, laying things out of your life, getting close. The Bible says, Brother Melvin, he came forth alive, but he was bound. See, when I got saved, I still had some issues. I probably didn't get saved like y'all did. I realized some of y'all got saved and every chain fell off, every sin was gone. You didn't say a bad word. You didn't kick the dog. You didn't fuss with the wife. You didn't fuss with the husband. Everything was perfect at your house. That ain't how it was with me. I got saved, Brother Terry. I was still bound with some old habits. I was still bound. I was still wrapped up with some things that I didn't have no business being wrapped. Was you saved? Yes, I was saved. Glory to God, ain't a doubt in my mind. I was saved. But there were some things that I had to work out, amen? And you worked that out with Jesus. Somebody came up to Lazarus and unbound him. Somebody came up to, and helped him get out of that stuff that was. See, the problem is some of us in here still bound up with some things. What you need to do is get some help. Talk to somebody that can help you. Talk to somebody that can help get you unwound and unbound and cleaned up and get those things off of you. Amen. How many remember? I guarantee there's somebody in David's life that helped get the grave clothes off of David. There's somebody in Ralph's life that helped get the grave clothes off of Ralph. Who is it in your life? Let me ask you a question. How many people have you helped? How many people have you helped? So I was studying on this and got thinking about this. Maybe he remembered the grave clothes, but he also remembered that some people doubted. The Bible says, I believe some people were crying, some people were doubting. The Bible even says some people criticized. But see, the thing about it is, they wasn't in the tomb, Brother Robert. See, all the people criticizing you, all the people talking about you, they wasn't in the tomb where you was at. I don't have no idea what kind of tomb Brother Melvin was in. I don't have no idea what kind of tomb Brother Mike was in. I don't have no idea what kind of tomb you were in, but I know what kind of tomb I was in. So when I come into God's house and I remember what the Lord did for me, I don't want to hear you talking about. I don't want to hear you talking about why in the world that preacher always got to bring up this. Why in the world that one on the other side of the church? They always got to stand up and praise the Lord. Somebody got to stand up and praise the Lord for where God brought me from. Why? Because you don't know the tomb they were in. Amen. Some people criticize. Maybe as Lazarus goes by that tomb and Lazarus sees that tomb, I remember them old Pharisees. I was talking to a man last week. He said he remembers when he got saved. He said a man that he worked with said, I'll give it 2 weeks. Anybody ever heard something like that? You get saved, you go tell your coworkers, I got saved. Well, I tell you what, I'll give it 2 weeks. He said 2 weeks later, I went to that man and said, guess what? I'm still saved. I'm going to tell you right now, every time I see that joker, I say, hey, it's been 20 years, but I'm still here, glory to God. It's been 30 years, but I'm still here. Hey, that same God that called me out, that same God that saved me, that same God that helped me get unbound is the same God that keeps me, amen. I ain't been perfect, but guess what? I'm still here. Amen. Amen. Some things that Lazarus might have thought about. Now think about this. I believe every time Lazarus might have walked by that grave, Lazarus probably said something to this effect, Melvin. I'm glad I don't live there no more. Amen. That used to be my residence, but not no more. That used to be my identity, but not no more. You notice how the Bible reads, and every time it talks about Lazarus, that was dead, that was dead, that was dead. See, the tomb is now his testimony, glory to God. Somebody ought to be able to shout, say, I don't live there no more. Hey, that's how I used to be. See, somebody in here used to be known as a drunk, but guess what? You ain't known as a drunk no more, amen? Somebody in here used to be known as a drug addict, but guess what? You're not known as a drug addict anymore. That's the old man. That's the old woman. That's the old testimony. That's what the tomb says. But glory to God, Jesus called us out of that. Amen? Amen. I got thinking about it as I was studying this. Y'all remember the old song, second verse of this old song says, then we went back to the house where we used to live. My little boy ran and hid behind the door. I said, son, don't be afraid. You got a new daddy. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Amen. Aren't you glad that you don't live there anymore? Aren't you glad that you don't have to worry? That's not your identity no more. That's not your residence no more. Dallas, how long have you been saved? 20 years. I guarantee you there's times that in his mind he goes back. Brother Robert, how long you been saved? Huh? About 50 years. There's times that we go back. Let me tell you something, folks. There's times that I go back to places and my mind thinks, you remember what you did right there? And I ain't always been saved. But I have to remind the devil of something. That ain't me no more. That ain't where I live anymore. That's the testimony that I can praise the Lord for. Amen. I want you to think about this. See, there was another tomb. There was another person that was placed in a tomb. There was other grave clothes and there was other stone. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with him. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that they were much perplexed thereabout. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed their faces down to earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. You got to understand something. Yes, there was another tomb. Yes, there was another stone. Yes, there was another grave clothes. But Jesus didn't need no help getting out the grave. Amen. Jesus didn't need no help moving the stone. Jesus didn't need no help moving the grave clothes. Hey, he was God. He was God before the grave. He was God in the grave. And he was God after the grave. Amen. And why? Because he lives, you and I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, you and I don't have to stay dead. Because he lives, you and I don't have to stay in the tomb. Because he lives and because he'll call your name, you and I don't have to live like we've always lived. There is help. There is help. There is help this morning in Jesus. Brother Robert, come on. I want you to bow your heads with me.